Welcome to What If, So What, the podcast where we ask what's possible with digital and figure out how to make it real in your business. I'm Jim Hertzfeld.
And I'm Kim Chopek. We're part of Perficient's digital strategy team, and today we'll ask what if, so what, and most importantly, now what? Listener, how many social media accounts do you have? Do you post to them regularly? Do you post about work? If your answer is no, you are in the majority of people who report there is just way too big of a risk posting about work on social media. Concerns include commingling personal and professional posts, an implicit invitation to, as one person has said, get up in my business, or worse, getting fired. Today, we talk with Kelsey Flora, former director of marketing and engagement at National Geographic, about how to turn your biggest brand asset, your team members, into your biggest brand ambassadors by sharing work-related info on social media and how to help them feel like they won't get fired for doing it. So Kelsey, welcome to the podcast. I'm actually really excited to talk to you today, given the social media climate and how that's shifted rapidly over the past 6 months, but certainly over the last few months. But first, tell us a little bit about your background and how you eventually took on this challenge of teaching people how to use social media in the work context.
Sure. I'm really excited to be talking with you today as well. I have been working in marketing and communications broadly for the better part of 15 years. And because of the timing of when I graduated from college, I've really sort of grown up in the workplace with social media. You know, in the beginning it was, hey, you're 20 something, can you make us a Facebook page? But I've had the opportunity to grow that into more of a part of my career. So when I was working at National Geographic Society, we had an interesting challenge in that we had a lot of people working out in the field on behalf of National Geographic who weren't actually employees. So that might include scientists, photographers, journalists, educators, a whole slew of people who were, you know, receiving a grant or part of a cohort of individuals working on behalf of National Geographic, but they weren't actually employees. So how to delicately rein in their social media activities was a constant pain point. I developed a training really just to give them the nitty-gritty basics of how to create good content on social media, but it also had a huge component about how to be a brand ambassador for our brand and how the National Geographic brand could become a part of their personal brand and vice versa. So how the brand could leverage what they were doing in support of its marketing activities. And that training really kind of took on a life of its own and grew into something much larger than I ever expected it to. We ended up adapting it for executives, for the board of trustees, for our spokespeople in general. And then staff were really interested in sort of clamoring to get some guidance on how they could post on social media about their work in a way that was in line with what the organization wanted and could approve of. So that we sort of did it as a pilot a couple of times. And then eventually it became part of the official onboarding process because it was proving really valuable both to the organization and to employees.
I think it's funny when we're talking about social media policies, because I think, you know, the few people I've talked to about this, their mind immediately goes to, oh, that recent college grad who posts, you know, pictures of them partying on the beach. That's what we're talking about. And your point is like, no, there are professional people in the field, well-respected, doing work on behalf of the brand that maybe just, to your point, didn't grow up with social media, don't understand what a content strategy is, not that they even should have, but how do you really get them on board? You know, maybe there's still a little bit about that content appropriateness, but it's more so how to create good content on behalf of a brand. Does that sound right?
Definitely how to create good content, but also how to be a good brand steward. I think it's really easy for people in the marketing and comms sphere to just assume that everyone else is thinking the way they do and thinking about, if I post this and I use my company name, what could be the end result of that? Is there any risk to posting this? Does it make me or the company look bad? Is it wading into difficult territory? That's not necessarily a hat that everybody wears. So especially when I was working with scientists, and now in my consulting work, working with a lot of artists and filmmakers, there's sort of that understanding that I'm an expert in my field, and not realizing that there's other implications to things that you post online that aren't necessarily about your field, but are about how you're perceived.
That's a great point. I think one of the things that a lot of organizations are struggling with is how to write these policies. What kinds of mistakes do you think organizations make when they start establishing social media policies for their employees or for, you know, as you're putting it, brand ambassadors?
I think the biggest mistake that organizations are making is actually, first and foremost, not having a policy at all, or having a policy that's just don't post about work. That's not good, useful guidance for employees. I would also say it falls into two camps if there are social media policies that aren't super helpful. One is that it's too restrictive. The other is that it's not specific enough. So, you know, there are people out there who don't want to share anything about their work life online. And that's perfectly okay, unless your job is to actually be an ambassador of some kind or a community manager. The vast majority of people don't necessarily have a need to share about their work life online. And that's okay. And a policy has to make sure that everyone feels comfortable not sharing if they don't want to. But a lot of people are also really dying to share what they're doing at work. They're proud of where they work. They're proud of the work that they're doing. And I think it's incumbent on organizations to provide them with a roadmap for how they can do that, that is to the benefit of the individual and the organization.
I think that's true. And, you know, and I think especially in recent months, we've seen people lose their jobs literally over a social media post where, to your point, you know, maybe they didn't have good guidance or good guidelines on what to do, what not to do, but it can have very real implications. So that makes a lot of sense to me. On the flip side, though, I keep going back to the partying photos. What are some of the biggest mistakes you see employees making on social media? And how do you think leaders, especially given your experience and how you've developed training, can write these guidelines so that they can post about what they're excited about at work, but still remain authentic? I think that's a big concern. Like, I want to post on social media, I want to post this content, but I don't want to be told these are the words I have to use, or it has to still feel like me. Otherwise, I'm not going to post at all.
So I think the mistakes I see employees making, I think actually a lot of times we don't see them making the mistakes. The feedback that I've gotten a lot is that I don't know if I can post this. So there's a lot of not posting. There have been some fairly high profile examples lately of people getting fired for weighing in on political situations. And I think it's hard to wade into that in terms of social media guidelines. And you don't want to be infringing on people's rights. But at the same time, our online persona, especially if you have a LinkedIn profile that indicates where you work, you really can't post on Facebook and expect people to completely separate that from your place of employment. It's your name and the place you work are going to be tied together on the internet, even if you don't indicate where you work on your Facebook profile. So that's one of the things I really have tried to drive home when doing these types of trainings, is that once something's out there on the internet, you can't have, oh, this is my Kelsey Flora profile that's for this audience. And then over here is a separate profile on a different platform that's only for professional reasons. It's nice to think that we can do that, but it's not realistic the way that the internet works. So it's important to think about your online presence really holistically. And I think one of the biggest things that I try to drive home is if you're planning on talking about work on your social media profiles, you should probably check to make sure that what you're doing is okay with your comms department, legal department, whatever is appropriate. Different organizations define trade secrets or company information differently. So it's always, I think, in your best interest to check before you post willy-nilly about what you're doing at work. But I also think that one of the key pieces of information that I have put out there in my trainings is there's this quote that's all over the internet, with great power comes great responsibility. And there's actually a debate online about who said this. It comes from a Spider-Man comic, but actually Voltaire said something very similar, obviously many years before Spider-Man came along. And so that's an excellent quote, but who is it attributed to? If you're putting something on the internet, who is that going to be attributed to? Is it going to be attributed to you, or is the possibility that it could be attributed to your employer? And that's a heavy question to ask yourself, but I think it's really important.
That is important. And it's really striking me to hear you say that. And I think you're right. It is human nature to kind of group and find similarities and commonalities. So of course, if I find you on LinkedIn, I'm not going to separate you from all your other social media posts. And I do think there, especially recently, there's this propensity to apply anything that an individual says to their employer, potentially. Well, if this employer is employing this person, they must feel the same way. Therefore, you know, X, Y, and Z. So I think that is a really, really important point. And I wonder, because you have made this really great distinction between employees and brand ambassadors, are all employees brand ambassadors? Do you feel like that should be a specific role within an organization with special training? And how do you really enforce, other than, you know, totally cutting somebody off, somebody who's not employed, but still a powerful brand ambassador and influencer?
I don't necessarily think that all employees are or should be brand ambassadors. I use that phrase knowing full well that a lot of companies have, you know, sophisticated brand ambassador programs for users of their products or, you know, social media ambassadors that are not employees of the organization. But I do think that there's great potential in using employees as brand ambassadors, and it doesn't have to even have that formal of a name. I think it's really just about empowering employees to be able to speak about their work and the mission of their organization, or, you know, the highlights of their products, whatever it might be, in a way that is compatible with the way that the company speaks about itself.
So Kelsey, kind of related, because we do live in the times that we live in, how have you seen recent social and political events impacting social media use policies? Do you see companies kind of shying away and locking it down, or are they kind of embracing it and using it as an opportunity to be more helpful and guiding?
So that's a really interesting question. And I think everyone can see that a lot of the social and political upheaval over the past 6 months, year, however many years you want to really think about it, a lot of that has really played out on social media very dramatically. And in conversations, especially with the social media heads at a lot of different brands, I've run into a lot of folks who are trying to create social media guidelines, or they didn't exist at all before. So I think in that sense, if there's one positive that's come out of all the upheaval, I mean, there are several positives, but this I think is one specific to social media, that it's making organizations realize that they need to provide that guidance because their employees are going to be on social media and they can't prevent them from having a life on social media in general. So they need to provide good guidance about how to represent the company or organization appropriately.
But we have seen some companies just misstep themselves, maybe coming from the marketing and communication departments, especially around the Black Lives Matter movement. You saw a lot of brands either totally silent or more reactive and maybe putting out a message that seemed, you know, counterproductive to what the movements were trying to achieve. And I guess my question is, there right or wrong, whatever, you know, you believe, how do you think companies can use social media to really further their diversity and inclusion goals, assuming, you know, that's part of their charters, without seeming inauthentic or worse, reactive, which is, I think, we've seen a lot of in the past few months?
Sure. And this is, of course, really top of mind for social media managers, heads of social and community across consumer brands, especially. I would say it's going to be pretty difficult, if not impossible, to seem authentic talking about diversity and inclusion on social media if the organization's, you know, the makeup of its employees, the messages that are on its website, the actions that it takes in the marketplace don't reflect an effort toward diversity and inclusion. And where I see a lot of companies having made missteps is they are putting out messages on social media in support of diversity and inclusion, but their day-to-day practices aren't reflecting a commitment to that diversity and inclusion. And today's consumers, especially on social media, are super attuned to that and willing to call an organization out for just paying lip service to a cause. And I think companies and organizations that do that at their own peril. So you have to make the commitment and the steps toward diversity and inclusion in general before you can reflect that authentically on social media.
I think that's a great point. It has to be authentic insofar as you have that operational mindset and you have policies in place that kind of extend to social media. They just aren't about all social media, if that makes sense. That's definitely a big topic we've been talking about with our clients as well. And I think a little more broadly, but kind of related, how is social media use shifting in the past 6 months? Of course, we've seen social and political implications, but how should companies be thinking about using social media go forward with some of the concerns around social media, the concerns around data privacy, the concerns around, you know, bots and false content out there? What's the most important thing for companies to keep in mind go forward?
I'm thinking of a couple things. One thing, and it's not really something for companies to keep in mind, but I think that there have been a few companies that have stepped up and said that they are, in particular, Apple, that what Facebook is doing is not okay in terms of how it's using user data and how the algorithm is feeding up fake news, whatever you want to call it. I think there are some really, really big brands on these social platforms that probably feel the same way, but don't feel like they have the capital to make that kind of statement. But if we want to change how social media is using that data and how social media is impacting the discourse around some of these really sensitive topic areas, I think that's something that's going to have to happen, that more organizations are going to have to say, I'm not okay with what's happening here. So I think that's one way to make change. I think the rise of an app like Clubhouse is a particularly interesting sort of sign of where people see social media going. It seems that users are increasingly unsatisfied with any sort of corporate sounding speak, which is, I think, especially a big challenge when it's a PR team that's managing a social media account. And I say that as a PR person who's managed social media accounts. There's just not a lot of appetite or patience for really, really buttoned up corporate seeming language in the social sphere. People are looking to be reached feeling like it's more one-on-one, like it's more of a conversation with a small community rather than a, you know, a blast message that's put on a billboard for the whole world to see. And the buzz around Clubhouse, I think, really speaks to that because it's, you know, I'm trying to think of an artist that I've seen on Clubhouse recently or a athlete. If an NBA player is on Clubhouse, he can't have his assistant or social media manager scheduling the messages to come out from that. It has to be him and it has to be in real time. That's the only way for it to work. And people are obviously looking for that type of engagement. Not everyone's on Clubhouse. That's fine. I think there are ways for companies to mimic or strive for that type of engagement with their audiences on all the platforms. It's just a matter of figuring out what that looks like for your brand.
Maybe that would have been the answer to my last question here, but if you really had to give one piece of advice to a company or a leader really trying to empower their teams to use social media more effectively in the current climate, what would it be?
I think companies need to be more open to actually empowering their teams to use social media. I think opening a dialogue about how employees want to use it, what kinds of things they want to share about their work or their organization is going to be insightful on both sides. So I would say be open to listening to employees and what they want to be able to do. Obviously, it's the organization's decision what kind of social media guidelines they want to put forth. But I think really trying to actively give employees a toolkit rather than slapping their hands after they do something that doesn't feel right. It's a lot cleaner if there's a clear set of guidelines up front, and it makes employees feel more comfortable and more empowered and just makes them better ambassadors for the brand.
I think that's a great advice and a great way to bring it full circle. And interesting too, because this concept of empowerment has started really permeating lots of different areas of an organization. And from what we've seen, empowerment of employees only makes the overall organization stronger. It feels like this is just one aspect of that. Well, Kelsey, thank you so much for your time today. It's been fascinating. I feel like we could talk about this for hours and hours and hours, but something will happen tomorrow that I'm sure will change how we think about social media again.
Inevitably.
Well, great. Have a great rest of your day. And thanks again for joining.
Thank you so much for having me.
Now it's time for our namesake segment, What If, So What, and most importantly, Now What? Jim, Kelsey had a lot of hands-on experience and a lot of lessons learned in empowering employees and brand ambassadors on social media. What were your big takeaways?
Well, Kim, first of all, I'm glad we could get right to this because I was busy searching through my social media history and my posts and just making sure I'm okay. So that was great. I think that was social media. There was such a huge wave, right? When really Facebook, in my opinion, say Facebook and Twitter just sort of converged. It seems like at the same time, and Web 2.0 just took off all at the same time. And I think there was such a surge of these instances and these and this phenomenon right away. But for some reason, I think Kelsey pointed out, the stakes are even higher, right? It's more relevant than ever. So it's kind of great to get a kind of a refresh of that awareness. She made a lot of great points. I think, you know, the big question about, are all employees brand ambassadors? No. But again, the reality check, you know, why I'm still checking my posts from 2009, you know, it's not realistic to separate, you know, your work life from your personal life on the internet. It's just not real. It's just not. You know, I think that's just a reality that we're living in. And so bringing back the Spider-Man reference here, you know, I was also left thinking, is that on the employee or is that on the employer? There's so many new questions, I think, in the way that this has evolved recently. And it was kind of great to get kind of reacquainted with the power that social media is giving brands.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, so many people, their identification as a person, as a personality is tied to what they do for a living. So, you know, Kelsey is spot on. Even if you shut yourself off in certain areas of the internet or in certain social media platforms, you're the same person across each platform. So I think, you know, we've all known people who maybe have a persona that they use on LinkedIn that is a slightly different persona on Facebook, that's a slightly different persona on TikTok. And as of recording this podcast, Clubhouse is on the scene, although I think their membership is starting to dwindle.
Yeah, hot minute.
But I think it just goes to show, you know, you can't isolate, you can't be a certain person on one platform and not be that same person on the other, because that's just not how humans work or think. But I think, you know, Kelsey made some good points here that ultimately your team members are already on social media and they probably want to post about what they're doing. Hopefully they like their job. They're engaged with the company.
Yeah, and they're proud of their work.
They're excited. Yeah. But without specific guidelines, you know, potentially these great brand ambassadors just won't post. They're just too afraid. And I think, you know, 2020 has forced digital transformation in social media, just like in other areas. But this transformation is on the people and the process front. You know, it's not the technology. I think social media platforms are going to come and go. Strategies need to adjust depending on platform, you know, social media platform capabilities. But social media is here. It's not going away. I don't think you're ever going to be able to separate work from personal, no matter what platform you're using. It just makes me think that Kelsey's points around in the absence of guidelines, people won't post. It really goes back to just total organizational alignment, you know, understanding across the board, what are the guidelines? How do you leverage the excitement of your employees and your team members to really support the brand promise? Because ultimately, the brand is the experience. If your employees aren't happy, that's going to come across in the experience, whether it's on social media or not. So I think to me, it's like there are guidelines around certainly how you use social media, what you can and can't post. But in my mind, and I think Kelsey was trying to make this point, like it can't always be punitive. It has to be supportive. So like, let's shift the conversation around how we're using social media from don't post party photos and don't do this to here's a really good example of what we'd love for you to talk about, you know?
Yeah, or only go to boring parties. I think that was kind of my takeaway. Like, I'm just going to go to boring parties unless that's not on brand, you know. So, so I think that that's why this is so complicated. I think I had a few what ifs in mind. If you go back to I think sort of traditional thinking about social media, it's like something you opt into, right? You don't have to do it. Kim, we have a coworker, right, who's just won't do it. He's just nope. He's ghosted, you know, on social media. And I said, well, you know, is that really the case, right? And so I think, you know, we think of it, is it something you opt into, something you choose to do either as an individual or as a brand?
And then you just go through the paces. Like you like things, you follow things, you subscribe to things, you look at your feed, right? You get the endorphin rush from finding new things and seeing new information.
That feedback loop.
Exactly. It becomes habit forming, right? And you just think about it. Then you don't really think about it. I start to think like you don't really have a profile anymore. You really have a digital persona, right? And it's a collection of all the things you do. And I don't think it's limited to social media either. I think it's all of your public digital interactions are out there, right? It's you put a YouTube comment out there, a Reddit comment. Reddit is an amazing place if you haven't visited it in a while. People will have an opinion on the GoFundMes that you donated to, right, as public. I will confess that I'm careful about, you know, what I put on my Amazon wish list, you know, which is really important.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
It's just think about that. I have public lists because, hey, I have needs. I have birthday coming up. You know, you need to know what's on my wish list, Kim.
Good point.
Right. But does everybody need? So my point is like, you know, I think you're the entirety of your whole digital footprint, right? And I think, you know, what if you thought about the entirety of that footprint, not just social media, right? And you use that in a smart way to improve your brand perception, get closer to your customers. You know, I think there's a huge recruiting element. I know, let's be honest with ourselves. That's part of our work here. Like we want great talent. And I think, you know, expressing what it's like, how this is a great place to work, you know, is again, part of that formula. So the only other big question I have is, can we all just opt out? I think the answer is no, but I think what if you could use the entirety of digital to express your brand promise?
That's such a provocative question, and I never considered kind of going beyond social media, but you're right. Now I have to check and see if my Amazon wish lists are public. I'll definitely share my wish list with you, Jim, as well. You know when my birthday is. But I think you can opt out. I think there are people, like we were talking about, who have done it. And, you know, to the extent that they're comfortable with it, they've done it successfully. But I can't help but feel, you know, that they're missing out. Honestly, it's something as simple as missing pictures of your family or something bigger, you know, where you're missing a neighborhood event or something like that because you've just simply opted out of social media. And the recruiting aspect is so interesting. It makes me think of, you know, back in the day before social media, before digital, really, you would go into a bookstore and there'd be that one shelf that says like employee recommendations. And I would always go to that because there's a couple people I identified with. I'm like, well, what's John reading? I'll check that out. Assuming most people are not going to opt out or at this point even realize they have that option, there really is an opportunity, I think, to totally revolutionize how teams can use social media in the context of an organization to help promote the brand across the board, as you described, like a really exciting opportunity when you consider going beyond social media. It's sort of like taking that notion of a social graph and really blowing it out of the water. Of course, we have a lot of data privacy concerns. And as a team member, an employee, you have to have control over what data is shared. But if you think about the opportunity, given the right guidelines and the right guidance and the right kind of communication strategies, wow, really, really cool.
We just made this much bigger, Kim. So where do you begin? Where do you go next? After you're done cleaning up your Amazon list.
Yes, gosh, now I'm focused on that. But I think given that bigger revolutionary opportunity, going back to kind of brass tacks, does your company have a social media policy? I think especially now after seeing so many brands come across as tone deaf and inauthentic on social media, given, you know, the past events of the year, does your company have a media policy that's specific? You know, is it not all punitive? Are there examples of here's what a good post or a helpful post or a productive post looks like? How does that fit into your overall digital marketing strategy? And if you're kind of have that on lock, how do you evolve that? Does the policy enable and empower potential brand ambassadors, or does it still make them feel restricted? And I think that's an open conversation about empowerment with your teams. And is there misalignment between overall brand policies and actions and what is being posted on social media channels? It's like, you know, different departments doing different things, not aligning and laddering up to the total strategy. But I think the opportunity is like, what is your readiness to revolutionize? Make it much bigger. I think that there's a huge opportunity there. I really do.
That's a t-shirt, Kim. What is your readiness to revolutionize?
Oh, I like it. I love alliteration. You know that.
I'm building on that.
Okay. I love it. Well, we're going to have to circle back with Kelsey in a year because social media changes daily, but it was great talking with her. And as always, Jim, great talking with you, and send me your Amazon list.
Thanks, Kim.
You've been listening to What If So What, the digital strategy podcast from Perficient with Jim Hertzfeld and Kim Chopek. We want to thank our Perficient colleagues, JD Norman and Rick Bauer, for our music today. Subscribe to the podcast and don't miss a single episode. You can find this season along with show notes at Perficient.com. Thanks for listening.